A new type of war has emerged. Information warfare.
This activity by the Russians is going to go down in history as the greatest covert action campaign in the history of Mother Russia.
So-called fake news can have real-world consequences. It's a danger that must be addressed.
And you have to be the ones to do something about it, or we will.
Last October, both houses of Congress grilled the attorneys for the tech giants Facebook, Twitter, and Google about Russian meddling and so-called fake news.
You have been identified as the major distributors of fake news?
We are not going to go away, gentlemen.
Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar has already introduced a piece of legislation aimed at more tightly regulating online political advertising.
The Honest Ads Act would bring transparency and accountability to paid political advertising.
But that only addresses a small portion of the problem. A Russian troll farm called the Internet Research Agency produced thousands of unpaid posts using fake accounts and Facebook groups that targeted hot-button issues like race and immigration.
Their strategy is to take a crack in our society and turn it into a chasm.
And it's not just foreign misinformation. Some lawmakers want better policing of sites like InfoWars, the Austin, Texas-based conspiracy site run by Alex Jones.
A short time ago, on Twitter, if you clicked on the hashtag NYC terrorist attack, the top tweet links to an InfoWars story with the headline, "Imam, I warned de Blasio about New York City of terror. He was too busy bashing Trump." Do you have a responsibility to flag something as this was fake news?
We see our users do that a lot. We are an open public platform.
You must feel like you have some responsibility.
We are deeply concerned about that and figuring out ways we can do it with the right balance.
While Democrats seem concerned that tech companies don't do enough to police content on their platforms, Republicans and conservatives have expressed concern that they do too much to cultivate their users' news feeds.
Your power sometimes scares me.
Do you consider your sites to be neutral public fora?
Google should be regulated like the public utility it is, to make sure it doesn't further distort the free flow of information.
With both sides increasingly suspicious of big tech, the regulation of online speech seems imminent. The specter of fake news and foreign propaganda posing as factual reporting is a complicated problem that many lawmakers seem eager to tackle. But as President Trump demonstrates on a near-daily basis, what constitutes fake news is often in the eye of the beholder.
You are fake news.
Sir,
go ahead.
This isn't to deny the existence or importance of things like facts, but to say that handing the authority to determine truth over to government officials could be disastrous. It's important to remember that being on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube is still a voluntary activity. Because customers can always log off, these companies already have strong incentives to keep their platforms relatively free of bots and trolls and to improve the user experience through actively curating content.
What we're trying to do actually is provide each user a personalized news feed that will be the content that's most interesting to that user.
Treating social media as some sort of public utility is quite simply a power grab that all but guarantees politicians and unelected bureaucrats will decide what information should appear in Americans' news feeds, and would likely grant the government even greater access to our private communications than it already has.
Are you intending to turn over to the committee any kind of direct messaging that went on among the different accounts?
Messages are the private communication between our users, and so we take that privacy right and responsibility very seriously.
We don't want to put ourselves in the position of being the arbiter of truth. We don't think that's a tenable position for any company or industry.
It's probably true that Facebook, Twitter, and Google aren't in a great position to be the arbiters of truth. But the government is in an even worse position. This isn't the first time governments have tried to control new tools of mass communication. Much like the internet, the advent of the printing press provoked panic and backlash among the elite institutions it disrupted. America's very first newspaper was shut down after a single edition because it spread rumors about the sex lives of government officials and published what the colonial government described as uncertain reports, or what we might call fake news. And for the crime of publishing without a license, the government imprisoned and later ran out of town another early colonial newspaper editor, James Franklin, older brother to Benjamin Franklin, who went on to run that paper. A few decades earlier, John Milton famously criticized the British government's regulation of materials produced by the printing press, writing in 1644 that truth and understanding are not such wares as to be monopolized and traded in by tickets and statute. Instead, better to let truth and falsehood grapple.
Why was this false content allowed to remain in place?
There was a small amount of tweets relative to the size of the platform, but impressions of tweets calling out those things as fake were 8 times as large.
Granting government even the slightest control over the free flow of information on the internet under the guise of fighting falsehoods will ironically make more difficult the task of discovering truth. Some level of fake news, misinformation, and trolling might just be the price we have to pay for free and open discussion.